Yeah.
Once again, it's a very good afternoon, good evening. Sanbonani Dumelang, I'm Sheni Molweni, bonjour, from Cape to Cairo, New Zealand, Abu Dhabi. Wherever you have streamed us, the festive season, the Christmas is over. We are staring at the last week of the year. And we are happy and rolling to be able to do this podcast. Here speaking is your boy Blinkinson Better, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in the cheese crop, Muhammad Ali's protege, roll like a butterfly, buzz more than a beehive. This is our second last episode of the year, and I couldn't have chosen to do it with the ever beautiful, shining, glowing, too many adjectives, so little time. Oshumi, I know we are on reserve, ne?
Eh, yo. What's below reserve? Is there below reserve? That's where I am.
The lights.
Yeah. Now the light is just flickering, saying, yeah, you need to stop.
Yeah, but are you good?
I'm good. Tired, but I'm good.
Yeah, we good. I think you'll pick it up. I mean, if you've been listening to our episodes for the past 3 or 4 weeks, you would hear there's some nice background noises of people and everything else. We are in a secret location. We could not do the studio because we were going to sleep in that studio. So we decided, no, let's be at a neutral venue where we can be relaxed and chilled and enjoy the festive season. Did you enjoy the festive season, Oshumi?
What festive season?
Okay.
Yeah, no, this month has felt like any other month.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't, man, there's always that thing in the air.
There's no we couldn't December. No,
this December is not Decembering.
We couldn't.
There's no, man, there's always something in the air.
But I think.
But it's this year, it's lacking.
I'll tell you something my mom said. There's a bigger cause to this December. The rain maybe is washing off all the bad things that probably happened. This was a very difficult year.
Yeah, it was.
It was a tough year. And maybe we need the cleansing if you believe in such.
Mm.
Maybe. I don't.
Hey, we might even have a better January than we have.
Hello?
Okay, other than the fact that it's your birthday.
Hello?
God damn it.
Like, yeah, but.
I think we might have a better Jan. We did a December.
Yeah, look, let's hope that we're going to have a better 2022.
Yeah.
And we are taking that positivity to our social media platforms where you're going to be highly, highly interactive with us. Today, we are going to bully our way into this conversation. And yeah, Oshumi, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about financial bullying.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, people. Ah, soga. And this is people who demand other people's money, who think they are entitled. More or less, that's what financial bullying.
You know,
It's not going blank.
It's you. Certain things. I mean, you always say this. Certain things we do it. We don't know that there's a term or there's a thing to it, right? Mm-hmm. We do it consciously, subconsciously, without us being aware of it.
Mm.
And you know, we living in such a very difficult time financially. This year has been the most challenging. In fact, the past 2 years, let's put it in that, right?
Mm.
It's really, really financially being tough. To top it then all off, then there's an individual who then all of a sudden then decides Khoriyena, they are entitled to someone's check.
Yes.
Girlfriend allowance.
Uh-huh.
Boyfriend allowance.
Uh-huh.
All of those things.
Mm.
We're talking about that. And
Little bonus.
Oh, yes. Now people are holding my sensitive areas now, yes, because all of a sudden
13th check, it's any. So now somebody feels they're entitled.
Hey, how
to
you
that
been?
13th check.
Now all of a sudden it's haying you.
Exactly.
We're talking about that. And somebody who's going to help us make sense of all of this is our resident psychologist, the ever fabulous JP Moeller. Welcome to Jordan Sex Podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Are you good, JP?
I'm very well, thanks. And you too?
We are in reserve. We're on reserve, JP. We're on yes. the last gear. If this was a car, we're on the last gear. JP, we're talking about financial bullying. What is financial bullying, JP?
Yeah, so this is very interesting. So financial bullying is exactly what you guys are talking about. Slimmy, great explanation. but it is when your partner doesn't let you keep your salary. They monitor your spending. They are abusive if you question their spending. They keep all the large assets in one person's name so that if something goes wrong, they don't have any problems on their side. They don't allow you to grow in your career or, as you said, get that 13th check, because then also people get jealous of that money and they feel like they're less worth it because they don't bring in as much money and all of that type of things. Then threaten to stop money if you do something and then they will not give you that allowance, as you guys say. Doesn't contribute to the household but just take it for themselves and takes loans out in your name and not on their old name, or withhold their personal and private financial information in your relationship.
JP, we've spoken about this, I think, in one of the episodes, right? With Khumi.
Yes.
JP, are we an entitled generation? I really think that, you know, with democracy and the dawn of a new day, as they will call it, it has, I personally think it has opened the door where people think that they are now entitled to other people, right? So everybody wants, so everybody's entitled. So if I'm dating you, you're automatically entitled to my salary. Mm-hmm. You're automatically entitled to how much I earn. You're automatically entitled mm-hmm. to my budget. You're automatically entitled to what I do with my finances. And mm-hmm. to a large extent, this then becomes problematic with the dynamics of the relationships, mm-hmm. correct?
Definitely, definitely. And they also, people are so entitled, and even to control your phone or to control your relationships and to control with friends and so on. And definitely, as you say, now all of a sudden, some of your finances as well. So, funny enough, there was a survey with 21,000 people worldwide, and 30% of them said that it is acceptable to monitor your partner without their consent.
Good
so to look
Lord.
At their phone, their emails, their WhatsApp, their SMS, and all of that without their consent. And then 15% of people worldwide require their partner to install a...
JP? Oh, we have lost JP. We are going to try and get a hold of him back. But, I mean, it's been fascinating. JP's back on the line. JP, you back on the line?
We're back. So 15% worldwide require their partner to install a monitoring app, so like NannyNet, where they can look at everything that you do on your phone of their partner. And that's the thing. They feel they're entitled because of their own insecurity, their own trust issues, because of previous relationships not working out and them going for the bad guy or the bad girl. And now all of a sudden they feel like they have to do this control over you and be controlling every part and bit of you, your finances, your relationship, your everything, because of their own insecurity. So that's definitely true, their entitlement.
Do you think that this financial bullying or this sense of entitlement comes from the fact that we individually have a bad relationship with money?
Yes. Absolutely. That's powerful. Yep.
It definitely can be. So money is definitely a big part of a relationship, and no matter what. So there was a PhD student who said, the reality is that even if you and your partner don't combine finances anytime soon or ever, their money situation is going to affect yours at one stage in a relationship. So unfortunately, yes, definitely. But that is why we also have to look at relationships in general and look at couples' goals. Because let's say, for example, for Khumi, nails is very important and makeup is very important. But Lou rather wants fishing gear. Okay? And that's important to him. So both of you can still do your hobbies and still do things that you like and your interests, but you must manage your money accordingly. If you have kids, you know, they cannot run the show and just take all the money. Yes, they also need certain stuff to survive and to have a good life and everything. Yeah, definitely. But they cannot take all the money that you two as a couple suffer then because of them, you know. So it must be a balanced financial management for the whole system. And here you can go and you can discuss your life choices together. Have a joint account. Maybe even have kids later when you're more financially stable. Recognize your differences in personality. Set expectations together. Maybe you want to see the world and travel the world before you have kids, you know. Talk about these things because that costs a lot of money before you have kids and then have to pay that as well. Keep purchases out in the open. And then one thing that's very important for me, don't wait to talk about the financial implications. But before you get married, talk about it because don't hope that that person will change. Later on, they will become more flexible with their money. Later on, they will give me, or they will share with me, or whatever the case may be. But rather discuss it from the get-go because communication is key. Say, this is what my money looks like. What does yours look like? What are our money goals together? What do we want to achieve? A bigger house one day, to live in a different area, whatever. But talk about it together. And then if you want to have a combined joint account as well, if you think that will be the best for you both.
JP, I mean, I'm baffled. JP, let me ask you this before my final question. Is this more... Because I was reading one of the stats, right? A lot of guys are experiencing financial bullying from partners. Are you seeing that trend as far as that is concerned? And is that then, JP, creating the spiral of out of control of our socialism, right? Because now we have guys who are so threatened by, at a certain age, at a certain level of your life, you need to have acquired these things. Then you acquire these things. Then we were speaking in the previous episode about sex addiction and how that then comes with entitlement, because I have money, so you're entitled to me and you're entitled to all those sort of things. Is this now then creating that vicious cycle, JP, where we are literally at a point of no return?
Unfortunately, it can definitely lead to that. And I do think it's because of the past and what happened in the past of our economic statuses in the country, where men were paid more for doing the same job as ladies, and all the socioeconomic imbalances in South Africa that we currently have. And then the men did earn more. They did have more jobs and job opportunities, where currently it's kind of shifting a bit, where ladies also get bigger salaries. And then some men get jealous if their wives earn more than them, and they feel, no, but the man should be the breadwinner. You know, so there's definitely that type of challenges in a relationship, and you should talk about it because you can't be jealous of each other. You're building together on your empire together, not on the one success, but on both of your success, without being jealous of each other, but seeing how you can support each other to be the best you that you can be. And that's why I also mentioned in a previous episode where I said we are both individuals, but together in a relationship. And I will never take that away from a girl or of a partner. If they want success, if they want to have a job, if they want to still study and grow and develop, they have to. And I want them to do it and see them blossom and see them grow, because that's nice for me as well. So without that entitlement of just expecting, even though you earn more, but they still want to do this. So yes, invest in their studies, let's say, for example. But then they can pay it back when they are more financially stable, so that they don't feel that they got this from you or that you own them now because you pay that, you know? But these things all have to be spoken about. You have to talk about it. So they say people who talk daily or weekly about money in their relationship are 54% happier in their marriages. So I do encourage people to discuss these things. And when you lose your job, how do you feel versus somebody? And then do you look for new jobs? Do you help out at home while you don't have a job? You know, there's a lot of implications to that question. But I know of people where the lady was like, yo, this guy's being useless now because he's not searching for another job. Why is he not even trying? You know, and she had a job. And that's just exactly the opposite of a stat. But I think in South Africa currently, more men earned more than ladies, and that is why we see those stats.
JP, finally, I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Firstly, we are in the festive season. It's bonuses. Khumi touched on it earlier. Everybody is looking at who's bonused, who's got their 13th chat, who's got their performance bonuses, and everybody's going to be entitled to those. How do we deal with that this time of the year? Secondly, JP, how can we be more financially mature when we talk about finances in a relationship, understanding the social construct that we live in? The world that you were talking about earlier has changed, JP, because there are women now who are earning more than men. There are women, there are women now who are really financially more in a stronger position than males. So how do we then balance everything out, JP?
I think what's very important is budget together. And how do you budget together? So every month you set out, okay, so we have to pay these things, who's paying what, okay? And then couples go together. So yes, we have this budget and we have to pay the house, the insurance, the this, the that. But together we also want to buy a new TV. We also want to go on holiday. So who's paying what? And I think that's also a nice thing. So I've learned this from other couples where they then say, okay, so the husband, for example, will pay the rent, the water, electricity, and the food. And then the lady will pay the cars, the petrol, and all the restaurant outings and clothes that they buy for that month. You know, so it's like splitting the chores, you know, and splitting the responsibilities of things that you have to do. But I'm not saying that one should have more or whatever, but it's to help both of you. It's both of yours core. It's both of yours insurances, house, water and light. So you both help each other. And then let's say one pays the holiday, now a fair bonus, but the other money we are saving for having a kid next year. Or we are giving 1,000 to each one of us to go and spoil ourselves with. Okay? But, you know, balance it out. And also discuss it. So what do you expect, you know? So I get 10,000. So what do you expect from that part? What do you need in that part? And why do we need it? And then see how can we support each other so that we both live the best life that we can. As individuals, independently getting what we need and how we need it and when we need it, but also together supporting each other that we can work on our couple's goals. And I think that is very special and very important. And it also makes our relationship stronger if you can conquer this.
JP, that's a very, very stern and very, very affirmative way to end the conversation and end in at large the year that we had. Big thank you to you, JP. We hope that you had a very blessed Christmas, and we hope that you're going to have an even more exciting and more prosperous 2022 moving forward, JP.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for all the podcast, for all the interviews. It was really so interesting, so amazing. You guys always bring the coolest topics, and happy holidays, and I really wish for the best 2022 for you too. May it be awesome.
Thank you, JP. Happy New Year, JP.
Happy New Year, guys.
Cheers, JP.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think finally, as we wrap things up, you've always said that we need to get to a point where people stop being entitled to things that are not theirs. People must understand that what is theirs and what is not theirs, right?
Yeah. You and I have had these conversations offline a lot, you know, and I always get so mad.
Especially with the opposite, especially with your
especially sex. With my gender. So I'm going to try very hard not to get mad. One, two, not to sound judgy, but women need to stop it.
Yeah.
If you don't have money, you don't have money.
Why would you expect him to have money?
Yes.
If you don't have money, granted.
There's this thing that everybody likes to say on social media, indoda must. why he must do what? What are you doing? If you want a man with money, do you have money? What are you expect this man to bring money to the table? What are you bringing to the table?
Other than your assets.
Yes. Your physical assets, which, by the way, he can get anywhere. It's nothing special.
And I remember we spoke about it. And I mean to put the perspective to that, we spoke about it in offline. Men are self-reliant nowadays.
They are very self-reliant.
So you cannot tell them that you're bringing a Makoti concept.
Yeah.
You're going to find a man who cooks, who cleans, who's able to look after himself.
If he can't, he's got the money to hire a helper to do all those things.
So what?
In the house.
So what? I remember you asked, so what are you bringing?
What are you bringing to the table? You can't say now sex. Sweetie, he can get sex anywhere. Different sex, from Thursday, Nana. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He can get different sex. And it's going to cost him less nothing than having an actual girlfriend. All he has to do is just buy a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine. That's it. That's all it's going to cost him. Having an actual girlfriend is actually financially taxing on men. And why? Because we keep demanding money from men.
And things that we... And things half the time that you cannot do for yourself.
Girlfriend allowance is a foot. If you want money for nails, pay for it. If you don't have money for nails, don't do your nails. Why must your man now
suffer
the bill for you liking things?
In a bullyish form, as the conversation is saying. Yeah.
And now you are here telling poor Tepo or no, if you don't give me money, I'll find somebody else who will. Go, baby girl.
You know, finally, the conversation around the V8, the Viano.
Oh, the Viano debacle, yeah.
Speaks to that.
Yes, it does.
Because now you get women now who can disrespect.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because when the guy... related
the full story.
Yes, when he was telling his side of the story, he said that woman got into that car and then automatically she started eating their food, drinking their alcohol, even took the guy's cigarettes.
By the way, this woman was given a lift, right?
Entitlement.
She was given a lift.
She was.
She had no transport to go home, according to the guy, and according to the wife, and according to the friend, by the way.
Yes.
So... she was helped, which in this social time, the guy was saying, I could imagine if I had left her there. So I said, let me do a good deed and take her home. And then that's how she behaved.
You know, when it comes to my bitch, there's something my friend always says, arena has a pair, how to bitch you.
Yeah.
She does not expect her men to give her money. Because, and as a pair, I could beat
you. Yeah, you're not a Russian roulette table.
She appreciates it more when her man does give her money. Because she doesn't expect him to.
Exactly.
He's not expected or required to. That's another thing. Women expect and require their men to give them money. Some men expect and require their women to do the same.
But then it becomes a very iffy and...
Yeah, it's just with the dynamic, yeah, men expecting such from women. It's never really explored because it's not something that's prevalent.
Yeah.
Unlike women demanding money from men, which is why there's this phrase, indoda mast.
Which annoys you.
It annoys me greatly. No, no. Listen, I love doing my nails. I change my hair every month. Like Dali, one understand that. I can't expect somebody else to foot that bill.
For who? For what?
Do you understand? I'm the one who chose for not every month I'm going to do my nails. I'm the one who sits here and decides, oh, no, you know what? I'm tired of braids. I'm going to buy a wig. Why must now somebody else pop up 2,000 rand, 3,000 rand to buy me hay? I'm the one who wants the hay. So why aren't I paying for the hay? Half the time, these men don't even care. Mm-hmm. They don't even care. But we are now taking these things and we're making it their responsibility. Why?
And
why are we bullying our partners to foot our lifestyles? And financial bullying, if we live alone, it's not even essential things like...
It's not.
Like rent, electricity, groceries.
We're being bullied to buy luxuries.
Yes. You're being bullied to take somebody to Konga because NNJ, she wants her Instagram to pop. Sweetie, if you want to go, if you want to do those things, do them on your own dime. Why must somebody else foot that bill?
And the bullyism comes in this in this effect as we wrap up. It's phrased as a must. That's why it's an allowance. So it means that every single month there must be a dedicated amount.
Yes.
To that.
Oh, there's another thing on social media where men every month they joke about how you have to budget for women, but they don't use the word women. They use a very, very, very derogatory term, which I'm not going to repeat, you know. But they know that when you go out, somebody in a short skirt and a very tight dress is going to expect you to foot the bill. Literally. It's not fair. Another one I hate, Mavuso. Cancer wears. Why?
But it speaks to what I asked first.
And if men were to turn around and say, listen, yeah, I gave you good sex last night, so kinyaka mavuso, there'll be an uproar from my gender. There will be an uproar. How dare you? But when we do it, it's supposed to be okay, and it's cute, and it's allowed, and it's this, and no, no.
So. Yep. And this was what we were saying ultimately in the conversation, guys. You know, money is a big conversation in relationships, and you don't want to get to the point where it becomes an entitlement.
Money is being treated as as the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You know, we all see it. But nobody wants to take accountability for it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Frankly and honestly about it.
You know what I mean? You know, so, and when we're talking about financial bullying, it's not just when you're dating. It's also when you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? JP mentioned it, that in some relationships, the other partner would not want to spend their money, but would expect their partner to...
Yeah.
To spend, you know, to...
Somebody wants to know how much you earn.
Yeah, but they don't disclose how much they earn.
It's scandalous.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had a thing with my ex where I didn't know how much he earned. He didn't know how much I earned. But whenever we went out, it was always a question of, are you paying, am I paying, or are we splitting the bill? Then he'll say, no. I've got this. I'll pay. And then the next time we go out, I'll pay. Snining, we go out again, and it's like, yo, nah, bon, I'm seeing flames here. Can we split the bill? And then we split. You know, we talked about money. It was never something that we're afraid
of talking about.
No,
but I think,
and at the same time, like I said, I did not. I still don't know how much that man earns. He does not know how much,
and you don't care about it.
And I don't care. But it was always a question of, if I don't have money, I'm not going to suggest to him.
That you do.
That I let's go out, for instance. I'm not going to say to him, I want to do lunch if I don't have money. How dare I...
And then somebody else must foot that bill.
You know.
And I think it's selfish, I think.
It is. Like, entitlement.
Yep.
Entitlement. We need to get out of people's pockets.
Yep.
And their checking accounts.
Okay.
Honestly.
I think that's a New Year's resolution, right?
It should be everybody's everyday resolution, not just
let's get out of people's pockets, everybody. If you can't do it for yourself, please don't expect the next person to do it.
Don't.
And if the next person does it, please don't treat them like they had to.
Yes, and don't expect them to do it again. They felt like doing it. Lebora and keep it moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think also it's easier said than done. And I think that was the final lecture from Osukhumi, I think, as far as that is concerned for 2021. And I hope that you're going to take this conversation into 2022. But another thing that we hope that you're going to roll into 2022 with is following us on our social media platforms, Oskhumi.
Yeah, they y'all can find us on Facebook.
Yep.
Your Daily Sun. Mm-hmm. Or you can tweet us at Daily Sun SA.
Yes.
Or you can find us at our beautiful, beautiful forever home, www.dailysun.co.za.
It's /Mjolo, and you can be able to find this and many, many, many other episodes. Once again, everybody, for the second last time of the year, big thank you to you. Big thank you to JP for his amazing insights. And we hope that you took this financial bullying, guys. It's not something one to ridicule. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And if we're not wary of it, it could be the next pandemic as far as relationships are concerned.
It's already there.
It's already there. Stevie, guys, please make sure. And on all aspects and all fronts and all spectrums of the conversation, please make sure that you're on the right. Please make sure that if you are going to engage or you're going to perpetrate the conversation around financial bullying, be ready of the dire consequences, because it has consequences wherever you look at it. And I would hate it if it has a dire consequences for you. Something that also has dire consequences of in this festive season and continues to is the Omicron variant. Guys, please make sure that you get yourself vaccinated, visit your nearest vaccination sites and platforms, so that you can get yourself vaxxed this festive season. And another thing that you need to make sure that you're going to keep strapped as we're counting down the days towards the end of the year, please make sure that you keep yourself strapped. Condomize everybody.
This is the happiest time of the year. It's also the sexiest time of the year.
Please.
You're going to be taking off your clothes. Just make sure that you keep the condom on.
Please, guys. Yeah. Babies are a blessing, but we don't want, you know, our social grant is feeling the pressure now, right? And while we are saying that babies are a blessing, you do not want to bring a baby in the world where you're not ready for them and they're not ready for you, and financially you're in sixes and sevens. So please, guys, make sure that you're safe.
And also, let's not be careless with our health.
Please, guys. We've got.
Let's not be careless with our health.
Guys, HIV and AIDS is still existent.
It's still there. COVID did not wipe out AIDS. It's still there. Exactly. HIV is still there. The numbers are still going up.
Yeah.
You know, with all this information that we have at our disposal.
Yeah.
The numbers are still somehow going up.
Guys, please make sure. Please.
We don't want to come to a point where now, once we're done dealing with this pandemic, we're now dealing with the HIV.
Yeah, guys, please make sure that you're safe, guys. Yeah. Everybody. Please make sure again that it's the festive season. Please make sure you do not drink and drive, arrive alive. We want everybody in one piece and not many pieces. Please, guys, make sure that you are safe. If you're going to be out and about in malls, if you're going to be out and about drinking, if you're going to be out and about with your partners,
just maintain social distancing.
Guys, that's a belief, toch.
Man. Maintain social distancing.
Yeah, guys, PDA on
1.5 meters.
Guys, please. PDA on a minimum is also me said. Leave nature alone.
Please.
You're going to get arrested. You're going to get arrested this festive season. You're going to get arrested. But once again, guys, big thank you to every single person who's made this podcast possible. Next week, we are doing our reflective exercise. But so this one officially, in terms of topics, is our last one of the year. It's been beautiful to share everything and what we have. And we've been really, really appreciative of your feedback throughout. God willing, 2022 will make this beautiful and more amazing. But if you're going to be a big, you're seeing me and her on the streets, do know that me, personally, I'm looking some better, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator. The most handsome guy in the cheese cup, Muhammad Ali's protege, roll like a butterfly, buzz more than a beehive.
And she is still going to see Abby, still without a cool outro.
Even in the last episode.
Still.
It's love and light, everybody.
Be kind to one another.
Shop, shop.